Julia Cardoso, you're listening to Anxious Ramblings. Here we're going to speak about all the crazy thoughts in your head that you're afraid to say out loud. So for today's episode, it's titled Dating While Anxious, and I have a special guest with me here, my boyfriend Gene. Say hi.
Hello, everyone.
And we're going to be talking about how it's like to be in a relationship with someone who has anxiety and how it was like for both of us in the relationship. And I've asked people on my Tumblr to send me some questions. I have about, I think, 20 questions or so here, and we're just going to get through each of them and give you guys advice and input on how it impacted our relationship. So I guess we'll start with the question. Well, first, you want to tell them about you?
Sure. My name is Gene. I've been a supporter of Julia for many years now.
How long have we been together, Gene?
We've been together for almost 7 years now.
Are you sure about that?
I'm positive about that.
And what do you like about me?
What don't I like about
you? What do you like?
Well, I like everything, so it's hard to think of the things I don't like, so.
Why are you lying to the people?
No, I'm not.
Okay, so let's get into these questions. So, it says, one of the questions I got was, what are your roles in the relationship when it comes to overcoming anxiety attacks and shit like that? Okay, so I feel like my role in the relationship is basically to call him and tell him I'm having a panic attack. What should I do? Or I'm freaking out. What am I supposed to do? What do you think is your role?
My role, I would say, is just a supporter because I don't know what it feels like to have a panic attack, and I don't pretend to. I have done research on it, and I feel like I'm more educated, but I'm just an ear. I listen, and I try to calm her down and walk her through it, and it's even better if I'm around because then I'm able to hold her and actually talk.
If I want to be held, because sometimes I don't want to be.
Of course, and I had to learn that because in the beginning I thought just being there would be helpful, but sometimes I just have to watch her and make sure it's all okay. And it hurts that I can't do anything about it. It's almost like staring at somebody who's in need and you're not able to offer anything except for your presence. And sometimes I feel like it's not enough, but there's not much I can do.
Okay. All right, what's next?
Next question is, how would you advise someone to talk to their own partner about anxiety?
I think that you should just be honest. And I think if you don't see a future with a person and it's not affecting the relationship head on, I don't think it's really necessary to bring it up, because you never know how it might impact the relationship early on. But if you feel like this is a person where you guys might build a future together and that's the one, then I think as soon as you can, just be honest with them, let them know what they can do to help you. Let them know how it impacts you and what their role can be in helping you with the anxiety. But honesty is definitely something that needs to be addressed in relationships when it comes to mental illness. So I would just say sit them down, let them know exactly what it is, and tell them this is what you need from them, this is what you don't need, this is what I'm dealing with, this is what anxiety is, and basically just be truthful and just tell them how it is.
I mean, I definitely agree with you with the honesty portion of it, and it's just being forthcoming, because it's such a tough issue to deal with. It could be hard to hide it, so you're sort of forced to speak about it, and you have to be honest, and you have to figure out if that partner is willing to stand by you with anxiety, because it is unpredictable. And if you don't see yourself with that person, it might not be worth the trouble to even have to talk with them if
Definitely.
You don't think they'll stand by you after you've revealed it to them.
I agree. Okay, so I have another question here. It says, hi, this is for your boyfriend. I have a social anxiety, and my boyfriend is really supportive and kind of amazing. But I feel like I'm a burden for him sometimes, and I wonder if he gets tired of me and my panic attacks and stuff. He always says I don't bother him, but I still wonder if I do. So what do you think about that?
Because
I definitely felt like that sometimes, too, that I feel like I'm a burden.
I know Julia feels like she's a burden on me.
Tell the
sometimes.
Truth.
Sometimes, and I'm not going to lie. I do feel overwhelmed at times, especially during the academic semester is where I do have a lot of work that I'm doing, and I feel like I don't want to drop all my work and help her, but as somebody who loves her, I feel like I have to, and I always end up doing so. And I make sure not to make her feel bad about it while I'm trying to help her, because it's important not to pile on while she's dealing with anxiety, especially at a specific point if she's having a panic attack. You don't want her to feel like she's burdening you while she needs your help.
Yeah, definitely. It's no fun. And I have another question. You want to read that?
Which one is that? The next question is for both of us. Has anxiety affected sex for you two?
Yes.
Not for me.
Well, in the beginning, anxiety would lessen when I have sex. Like afterwards, I'd feel less anxious. It's kind of an awkward subject, but
not that awkward for me. But
shut up. But I started taking Zoloft, Sertraline, and I noticed my sex drive decreasing, and that has been an issue for me. And that's about it. There's really not much on my part. It's just the sex drive issue, and that's about it. How has it affected you?
Julia's anxiety hasn't affected sex. Well,
on your part.
On our sex life on my end, because I mean, it's. I did notice that sex was sort of a stress reliever for her when she did start feeling anxious. So of course I tried to help her out, but I wouldn't say it has had any major effect on me.
Okay. And I have another question for the both of us. What do you both like to do with your free time? I like to do podcasts and write articles and read. I love my job. I forgot to mention this, but I'm a mental health associate now, working at a clinic that's black owned and operated for working with the mental illness of minorities in the Boston community. And right now I'm just working with youth, and I really, really love my job. And that's basically what I do. And of course I have my Netflix days where I'm just chilling, watching shows, binge watching a whole bunch of Netflix shows. And
I can definitely agree with that last point, because some days I don't want to do anything but watch TV. But I'm an avid reader. Similar to Julie, I love my job. I'm an architecture designer, so I try to enrich myself in my field, because I feel like I can never stop learning in my field, just like I feel like I can never stop learning about anxiety.
Cool. Pretty cool guy, if I do say so myself. Okay. You want to read that?
Which one? Hello. I'm in need of advice. I've had anxiety since before I was dating. It used to be restrained pretty well. Only came out at night when I was alone. Now, my boyfriend sleeps over a lot, and it's even better. However, when he isn't there, it's much worse than before he was in my life. I'm scared I'm becoming dependent on him to keep it away. Is there a way to go back to self-preservation?
This is a really, really good question. So about a month ago, I called Gene, and I was like, I'm not going to tell you about my anxiety anymore. I'm going to handle it on my own. I don't know. I just had like this little, I don't know what to call it, but
I didn't agree at that point. But I mean, I said okay, but I knew she'd realize that was a mistake.
And it was not a mistake. I actually learned a lot during that time. I learned I'm not as dependent. Do you agree with me?
Yes, I do agree with you, but I feel like I would have appreciated it more if you said you want to take some time and not tell me about your anxiety. But when you said you wouldn't tell me about your anxiety anymore, I felt like I did something wrong, and it goes back to the point of you being a burden on me. I didn't know if you reached a breaking point where you didn't want to bother me anymore.
Yeah, that's
although
what it
I
is.
Never felt like I was bothered.
I just felt like I didn't want to bother anyone with my issues, and I just wanted to learn to handle it on my own a little better, which I did. Basically what I did is take a break from thinking about anxiety. I put away all my self-help books. I deleted all, like, the podcasts that I listened to that has to do with anxiety. I even took a break from Tumblr. Just, like, put everything away and just focus on the present moment. Focus on what are you doing right now. Set goals for yourself. And, you know, if you feel, like, the urge to really, you know, want to reach out to your boyfriend if you need help because you're really anxious, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But learning when to do it and when to search within yourself to figure out how you can get through the panic attack. And that's what I had to do on my own. And I feel like I manage it a lot better now, and I'm feeling better than I have in the past 5 months. And that is, it definitely has to do with my routine, but as well as learning how to handle it on my own without having to depend on someone else.
I can agree with that.
Okay, so... All right, it's another question. I'm sorry. I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but how did you find someone who will date you and your anxiety? I have pretty severe generalized anxiety disorder and panic disorder. My anxiety has been low enough for me to start looking around. But seriously, as soon as I tell anyone I have anxiety, they just put me off as some crazy chick, and I never hear from them again. Do you have any tips or advice? Okay, so we started dating before my anxiety became an issue. Been together for 7 years now, and we were dating for 5 years before it became an issue. So if he was gonna go anywhere, it's not because of my anxiety,
right?
Because he's already here. Got you locked.
Yeah,
so yeah. I think if you're dating, when it's not to a point where it's too serious, like I said before, I don't think that it's necessary to reveal that part unless it's something that is apparent in everyday life and it's something that's really going to stop you from expressing yourself or stop you from being the person that you are. But if you go on a first date, I don't think it's something that you need to... I mean, it's not that you should hide it, but I just feel like it's something that the person who is going to really get to know you will really accept it. And if someone tells you that they can't be with you because you have anxiety, then you should not feel bad about that. Like, they don't deserve you. Like, you need to find someone who will accept that part of you. And they are out there. I wouldn't say that if I told someone and he just, you know, thought of me as some crazy chick, then that's not the type of person I want in my life in the first place.
Yeah, but then again, it starts with education, because prior to your development of anxiety, I didn't know anything about anxiety. I mean, I thought of, you know, the average nervousness you get when you're about to, I don't know, take an exam or do something that you're nervous about. I didn't know the severity of general anxiety disorder. So if a girl would tell me that she had that from the beginning, unless it was really clear and she had a panic attack in front of me, I don't think it would scare me away. But now, I mean, it starts with education. If the person runs away after you tell them that you have anxiety, it's one of two things. They don't know anything about anxiety and they do think you're crazy, or they've dealt with somebody with anxiety, with severe anxiety before, and they don't want to deal with you again. And like Julia says, in that case, then they're probably not someone that you want to date anyway. So it's probably the best that they do go away until you actually find the right person to want to deal with your anxiety. And those people are out there.
Definitely. So, question for you, Gene. Is there a difference in dating with someone with a mental illness and someone without it?
I don't really have a straight answer to this question because
we've been together for like so long.
Not only that, because I never thought about anxiety while dating anyone, so I wasn't able to sort of think about the situation. Of course, I've never had a girlfriend that has had any panic attack for me to walk them through it. I guess you can say there's a little bit of a difference, but if you take anxiety, I don't think Julia's anxiety sort of, you know, engulfs our relationship to the point where I think about the difference all the time. So I guess there is a difference, but it's not noticeable until she has a panic attack. And at that particular point, I don't even think about it. I just try to get her through it. And I guess a day or so later, I can start to reminisce on the situation, and then it may come to mind, but it rarely does.
Okay, so here's the last question. What are some tips you would give to a couple when one person faces anxiety to help bring out the best in the relationship?
I would say the most important thing is to be very patient, because your partner that's dealing with anxiety, they have to find their way of handling it, and you have to be there, not to tell them what to do or direct them, but sort of be able to hold their hands and walk with them through the process of recovery, if no matter how long it takes.
Oh, you said because, recovery, you smarty.
Yeah. Well,
taught you that.
You taught me that. Anxiety recovery. But you just have to be willing to be with that person as they develop, because I can honestly say I've watched Julie go through some really, really rough times, and those are the times where I feel like I can't help. I can try to brighten her mood, I can try to make her laugh. Some days it works, some days it doesn't. And just be very patient for the tough times to pass, and I guess so you can see the better days.
I think that in order to bring out the best in relationships, you have to set healthy boundaries. You have to know which line can be crossed and which lines can't be crossed.
Absolutely.
You have to prepare yourself mentally when you deal with someone with a mental illness, and on the other end as well, you have to learn when can I open up about this? When can I deal with this on my own, and when can I turn for that person to help me? And just really learning how to be dependent on that person without being over-dependent. Is that the word?
Yeah.
And, that's all I have to say. And really taking some time where you're not always thinking about your anxiety or not always talking about your anxiety, just really, you know, focusing on the other person and making sure that both of you guys get equal time in the relationship, where you both are... when you both are exemplified in the relationship, and it's not just focused on you and your issues.
Yeah, I mean, that's for sure. And going back to patience, I can recall times where I've told Julie to do something, and I understand that physically she can't do it, but I can't say that that's the first thing that comes to my mind.
Like taking the train?
Like taking a train.
Oh, yeah. So
she didn't...
We can tell you guys a story.
Yeah, go ahead.
I still kind of have a hard time taking the train by myself. I haven't done it in a while. And I feel like when I'm with him, I'm fine now. But he wanted to come with me to my therapy appointment, so he said we're going to take the train together. And it's been 4 months before I even got into it. I even got on a train. So that day, I was, like, struggling to even walk to the train station. I kept stopping. I was shaking. Like, I was already having, like, heart palpitations. I couldn't load my trolley card. He had to do it for me. Then when I got down into the train, I was just freaking out. And it was only, like, three stops. I made it to my appointment, and the same thing. Like, I was just kept stopping. I had heart palpitations. And I was just really proud of myself for getting there and making it to the appointment, because it's been 4 months since I've stepped into a train. And on the way back, he wanted me to get back on the train to go home, and I just couldn't. Like, you know, you get physically drained when you try to make yourself do something that's really, really hard, something that you haven't done in a while. Like, something as simple as getting on a train, people don't understand. People who don't have anxiety don't understand how hard it was. And I don't think he did, and he kind of got frustrated when I didn't get on the train the second time, but I wasn't mad at myself, because I was actually really happy that I did it at all.
And that's where the patience comes in. At that exact moment, I was mad because I felt for 4 months she didn't get on the train, and she wouldn't be able to do it until she did it. So I was angry at her for a second, and then I went home and I got mad at myself for showing that frustration, because as much as I can support her, I have had some times where I've been really tough on her, and for a period of time I showed her tough love, and she told me that it didn't work.
We talked about that. So, like, I told him that I don't want tough love. Like, that's not what's going to help me. I like compassion, and I like you to be sweet. And it's not that he's not sweet. It's just, like, tough love. I give myself that, and I'm tough on myself, and I just need someone who is going to give me, you know, that soft love. And, yeah. So what do you think is, what was the hardest thing that you had to go through with me and my anxiety?
Oh, that's easy. I think I know the hardest thing. Julie had her first panic attack on a flight coming from seeing me in San Antonio to Boston. And prior to getting on the plane, I was at work, and she called me and told me that her hands were shaking. She couldn't do anything.
I didn't even know this was a panic attack at the time.
Right, and that's prior to her even being diagnosed with anxiety. So while she was on the plane, I had crazy thoughts going through my head. I thought she was gonna die, and that's not even exaggeration. So much that I sat down, I wrote like a letter. Like, I didn't
want, you wrote me like a goodbye letter.
It wasn't a goodbye letter, but it was something to pass the time before she landed. Like, I really did think that I wouldn't see her again. Aww. Like, I thought that was the last time I would see her, because it sounded so bad. She tried to cancel her flight when she wasn't able to, and I sort of encouraged her to get on the plane. And that's before I did any research about anxiety, so I didn't know what was happening. I thought it was something way more serious. So that was tough on me. And when she landed and I got that call from her, that was one of the most important phone calls in my life, because she came down there to see me. If something happened to her before she made it home, I would have felt like it was my fault. Yeah. And that's not the only reason why I was worried. I didn't think I would see her again.
Yeah, that's how I probably made it seem. And it was the first, like, your first, you never forget your first panic attack. It's like I would never forget that. And after that, not even knowing that I had anxiety, like, it just went downhill from there. And that's when it started escalating. I started getting more panic attacks. But I'm glad I got through that, and I'm in a way better place right now, and I hope to stay this way. Do you have any questions for me?
Actually, no, I do. I do have a serious question for you. Now that, you know, I've seen you through the good times and the bad, and you're doing well now, because, I mean, I always have the mindset to not get too comfortable. So yeah, although definitely. She is doing very well now, I don't want her to, you know, to feel like she's made it and this can't happen again.
Yeah, because I don't think that recovery is a cure.
It's not a one-step process.
It's not a cure, and it's I can definitely slip any day, and I'm really aware of that. And the thing that I am trying to do now, like in the past, I made a mistake of, once I got really good, I stopped doing the things that I was doing that got me there. So now I'm trying to, you know, really keep my routine, keep the things that work for me, so that I don't see that time again, or any time, or that it's in my control.
I mean,
what was the question you had?
I didn't get to ask it yet because you cut me off. But the question is, now that you've gone through some bad times, not that I want you to think about what will happen, but do you feel like you're more equipped to handle similar times with what you've learned in the last couple of years through this stage of your recovery?
Yeah, I'm better prepared now, I guess. But when I was bad last fall, and then I was in recovery in the spring, I didn't think I would do it again. And then when I got bad again this fall, and now I'm better again in the spring, I kind of see like a little pattern that it's really seasonal.
Yeah, it is seasonal.
And I got better like in the spring, summer area. I feel like once the bad times hit, it feels like everything that you learn just goes out the window. You're just like, oh my God, what am I going to do? Like, I don't know. I'm just going to die. Like, I don't know. Like, this is getting really bad. I'm having a panic attack. Am I having a heart attack? Like, everything just goes out the window. But I just have to remind myself that I know how to handle it, and I know what I can do to get help. And I think one thing that really helped me is to document my good and bad times in my journal, which is really bad because I've noticed that I haven't written in it in a while, and I'm doing really good now, so that's something that I have to work on. I'm actually going to go write as soon as I get home. So I want to document times that I'm doing really good and times that I'm doing not so good, because it really helped to see, like, you know, what was I even write down, like, what was I taking, what vitamins, what medication, what did I do that day that allowed me to get that panic attack, and even on good days, like, why am I having such a good day today? So I really want to work on more documenting the good and bad times. And I do feel like I'm a little bit more prepared, but, you know, like I said, sometimes it's just everything just goes out the window, and all you can think about is, I need to be in my safe place, I need to be home, I need to be safe, and I need to not feel like this again. I think that's it.
Yep, that's it on my end.
Well, thanks for joining me, buddy.
I appreciate you having me on. We've been talking about this episode for...
I know. He's like, when am I going to be on your podcast?
I didn't say that.
When are you going to interview me?
No, I didn't say that. She asked me in October, and this never happened until now.
It's good, though, we waited this time, because we went through little waves of anxiety, and it's good. So for the next episode... Oh, thank you, everyone, who sent me questions for me to ask, and pretty sure we answered every question. Some of them were repeated, so if you didn't hear your specific question being read, just know that it was answered. And if you don't think that it was, you can always send me messages on Tumblr, and I will definitely answer you. And thank you, everyone, for all the help, and thanks, Gene, for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
And for the next episode, I'm going to talk about mental health in minorities. And don't forget to contact me on Twitter at anxioussurvivor. I'm also on Gmail at anxietysurvivor@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out my website at anxiousrambling.squarespace.com. Thanks. Okay.